The gospel reading is from Luke, the 18th chapter, verses 9 and following, and it's the story of the Pharisee and the tax collector. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, "God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get." But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." And God bless his word to your hearts today. Well, this morning I want to begin a series on who do you say that I am? The first week is on Jesus, friend of sinners. But first I want to get started with something a little humorous. I heard about this pastor that found a dead mule on the church grounds. And he called the health department, asked them to remove it. And they talked to him. They said they couldn't pick it up without the mayor's authorization. And the pastor knew that the mayor was well known to be very rude and hard to get along with. And when the pastor called the mayor didn't disappoint. He began to rant and rave with the pastor. And finally, the mayor ended up saying, "Why are you even calling me anyway? Isn't it your job to bury the dead?" And the pastor paused for a moment and said a little prayer to the Lord just to give him the right words to say. And the pastor said, "Yes, mayor, it is my job to bury the dead. But I always like to notify the next of kin first." You know, some people are really hard to get along with, aren't they? And when you look at them, some people you think, well, God could never love those people. But if we're honest with ourselves, we've all had some shortcomings in life. And if I was to give you the test that I gave, little quiz that I gave the youth, what would you say? Did you ever throw your vegetables away and said you eat it? Would you ever blame anything on a brother or a sister? Or there's all kinds of things. Maybe we're not the worst of sinners, but the Bible says that we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And this morning I want to think about Jesus as a friend of sinners. For us sometimes when you look at these parables, sometimes we've got a little culture to go back with. And we have to realize, first of all, that when we think about Pharisees today, we sort of have 2,000 years to think about that parable in one way or another. And when we think of Pharisees, we think of people who were self-righteous and pretentious. But if you go back to the time of Jesus 2,000 years ago, the Pharisees were really the upright people. They took care of teaching and the temple. They did a lot of good things. They were well-respected as religious leaders. So you have to realize that. And then when you look at a tax collector today, I mean, no one wants to pay taxes. But back then, you have to realize that tax collectors bought the right to be tax collectors. They were Jewish people, fellow Jewish citizens, who went to the Roman Empire, which had conquered Israel, really had enslaved them. And they paid for a license to collect taxes. And then the way they made back their money and made extra money was they charged too much. They overcharged the people for their taxes. And they had the Roman Empire behind them. And so they really dug it into other people. And no one likes to pay taxes, but no one wants to pay extra taxes. And they threatened and they cajoled people and made them to do that. And so there were sinners and then there were tax collectors. Tax collectors were considered even worse than regular sinners. And so when you look at that, when that kind of a lens, it really helps us to look at that and also realize that Jesus, earlier in Luke, it was said of Jesus that he welcomes sinners and eats with them. When you think about that for a moment, I mean, we invite friends over to our house and really sit down and enjoy dinner with them. But at that time, when you had maybe a cup of coffee in the marketplace with someone or, you know, a drink of water, it didn't necessarily mean that you were real close. But if you invited someone to your home to sit down and eat with you, it meant that you were not only friends, but you respected and trusted that person. And you were sort of binding that, your identity to them. And so when Jesus is called a friend of sinners and someone who ate with sinners, you have to realize that. When we look at that this morning, just to hear that again, Jesus said to someone who was confident in their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. He said, two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. And the Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, "God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers and evildoers and adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all that I get." But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. When you look at this, I think the first thing to say, looking at that is, in our own relationship to Christ is to resist making comparisons. That's the first thing the Pharisee did. And when we make comparisons to other people, how do we usually do that? We usually look at those below us, not above us, right? And that's exactly what the Pharisee did. The Pharisee said, I thank you, God. Now, that's a good way to start a prayer. Thank you, God. We're told to start that way. But from there, it kind of went downhill. Thank you, God, I'm not like other people, evildoers and adulterous people. And then he goes on to even say, probably in a loud voice, that this tax collector could hear this temple. Remember, it wasn't carpet or anything. It kind of echoed. And so he said in a loud voice, and especially like this tax collector over here, you know, this person right in his own company. And so to resist those kinds of comparisons, and all of us have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. That's what God's word tells us. And when we start to put other people down and we sort of compare ourselves, especially in a way that would push someone down and make them feel even worse about themselves and make them feel more guilty, we're not helping ourselves. We must realize that all of us come before the Lord, and Jesus is the only one who paid the price for forgiveness, and he did exactly that. And so we have to resist comparisons. I think the next thing to think about when we look at that is to renounce our own righteousness. When you look at this Pharisee, he began to talk about how he's deserved God's forgiveness and God's grace. He said about himself, he said, I fast twice a week and I give a tenth of all that I have. Now, those are both great things. It's great to fast, especially if you're fasting to sort of lift someone up else in prayer, or to give the money that you would spend on that meal to someone in need. But he does something that's something that's honorable. He's fasting. And then to tithe is a commendable thing too, to give one tenth of what we earn or what we grow, whatever that is. And so he says this, but he says it in a way that means that he earns God's grace by doing that. And the Bible is very clear that none of us can earn God's grace, that we have to really come before God humbly and to put our lives before Christ. And anything that we do is not to earn God's grace and God's love, but in return for God's grace and God's love. And so when you look at that, the way we're supposed to come before God is to confess. It says this in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Notice that the Pharisee never said, forgive me for anything. It's as if he never did anything wrong. And he's fine to do some good things, but if we sort of deny that we have ever fallen short of God's glory and fallen short of the law, just like even the kids, and if we're honest, all the parents too, you know, there's things that we've done, little or small, but they all add up in life. And if we try to come into God's presence with our own righteousness and our own works, you know, that check is going to bounce every time. That's not going to clear the heavenly bank. The only way we can do that, the Bible tells us, is through the grace of God, and that Christ has paid the price for us to do that. You probably know the verse from Romans 3:20 that says this, no one can ever be made right with God by doing what the law commands. The law simply shows us how sinful we are. In other words, the law shows us how to live a life that's blessed, but the fact of the matter is that somewhere along the way, when we look at the law, even the Ten Commandments, we know that we've broken some of those, and some of those repeatedly, and so we're not worthy to have right relationship with God, and so God has to make that relationship from himself. And so resist comparisons and to renounce your own righteousness as a way to enter God, and then finally just rely on God's grace. Rely on God's grace. Look at, on the opposite side, this tax collector. At that time, the way people prayed in the temple was they lifted up their hands to heaven and then prayed with their head lifted up. And this tax collector wouldn't even lift his eyes up to heaven, wouldn't lift his hands up, but was looking down at the floor and said, Lord, have mercy on me. God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And you know, that's a pretty simple prayer. God, have mercy on me, a sinner. But Jesus said, that man went home forgiven, not the other man. And I think for all of us, that's a prayer that we have to pray. And, you know, that's a prayer that works even one time in our life when we come before the Lord and ask the Lord into our heart. You know, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Something we can pray in the hospital, wherever we are, or we can even pray the name of Jesus with a kind of faith. But if we don't come before the Lord like that tax collector, then we're only fooling ourselves. Jesus is trying to tell us. And, you know, there's a beautiful picture there of Matthew as in that scene that as Matthew is tax collector, and Matthew became one of the 12 disciples and even became a martyr and gave his life to follow in Jesus' way. And so you never know the person who's beside us, and you might look at that person as a sinner, and yet God might have a seed of grace, that person's life might be transformed, not by us putting them down, but by us extending God's grace and God's love, just like God extended that to us. This person by the name of Albert Osborne, back in the Second World War, and earlier in his life, he grew up in the Salvation Army, a great organization, and he did a lot of the great things that the Salvation Army does. They helped lead it even during World War II, was out helping people during the raids and things like that. But he lived in London, and on one night, as he was going home in the darkness of the night, there was a bombing attack, and he didn't think he was going to make it home. He was feared for his life. And when he finally made it home, after getting through all this bombed-out part as the bombs were coming down, he didn't even take off his coat. He just went to his desk, and he wrote these words. He said, "I have no claim on grace. I have no right to plead. I stand before my Maker's face, condemned in thought and deed. But since there a lamb died, who guiltless my guilt bore, I lay fast hold on Jesus' name, and sin is mine no more." And you know, all of us have to come before the Lord in that way. Our words may not be quite that eloquent, but if we're just like that tax collector and say, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner," then God promises that he's going to touch us. It says this in Titus. It says, "When God our Savior revealed his kindness and love, he saved us, not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He washed away our sins, giving us a new birth and new life through the Holy Spirit." You know, if we just come before the Lord like that tax collector, we can walk away cleaned and refreshed with new life, with the promise of eternal life. And I wonder how many of us can do exactly that. And so I encourage all of us to pray that prayer and to think about those things, to resist comparisons to others, to renounce our own kinds of righteousness as a way of earning a right relationship to God, and simply rely on God's grace and God's love, because God loves us enough to give his own life for us. I'd like to close with two examples real quick, and the one is from ancient times, so ancient for us, 2,000 years ago, roughly. Augustine, when we think of Augustine, we think of this great saint of the church and great writer, but most of Augustine's life, he grew up through middle adulthood, he lived a very, very reckless life. You know, he was calls himself a drunkard, and really just did the worst things possible out there. And then one day, he was always very much a scholar, but his life was going nowhere. And someone handed him a Bible tract back then and said, "Take and read." And he did exactly that. And who knows what that person thought. They were probably, maybe thought they were wasting a piece of paper by giving that, but they just said, "Take and read." And Augustine read that. And he prayed that simple prayer, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner." And God radically transformed his life through the love and forgiveness of Christ. And he was going into the priesthood. He served God. He wrote incredible books. He gave his testimony and shared all of his life. And people were touched throughout his life by that. And he said that his life went from being the city of man to the city of God. The other example, you know, when I grew up, one of the worst rockers out there, most people thought, was Alice Cooper. And if you were to ask me, gee, you know, would Alice Cooper ever become a Christian? I'd say, you know, I hear about his concerts, it's crazy, it's wild. And years later, Alice Cooper became a Christian. And he said this, he said, "That the most radical thing I ever did was becoming a Christ follower." And he's a Christian today, has a radio show, and has a camp for wayward teens, and helps them with music, and also does a fundraiser. And Bruce was telling me that too, that he does this auction with classic cars and things, and his life has been radically transformed. But if you were to ask most anybody during that time, would this person ever become a follower of Christ, he would say, "You're just out of your mind." You know, God loves sometimes to take the worst sinners that we would say are impossible, and God just loves to change and transform their lives. And if you and I spend our time sort of praying and saying, "I'm better than this person," and pushing them down instead of saying, "Listen, God loves you and God loves me," and we all come before God equally asking for Christ for forgiveness, then you never know that that seed planted, we would have just, instead of doing that, would have said, "You know, God loves you. You know, come to Christ, and God can do miraculous things in your life." You don't know, that seed planted might bear an incredible fruit before the Lord. I just want to close by saying again that verse from Romans that Paul challenged us with. He said, you see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And that paid the price for you and I forever. And if we just come before God with three words, if nothing else, think of sorry, thanks, and please. Sorry that I've done wrong. Thank you that Christ has paid the price, and please forgive me. We know that God is faithful and just and will forgive us. We join you in prayer. Gracious God, as we come before you this day and come around this table, our Lord's table, we're reminded that you paid the price for all time. We're reminded that you are a friend of sinners, a friend so close that you're willing to lay down your life on Calvary so that we can know forgiveness and new life, to pay the price for our forgiveness. And then through the resurrection, we have the hope of eternal life. Forgive us for all our sins and shortcomings, and help us to, in love, come before your throne and to extend your love for others each and every day. We pray in your precious holy name. Amen.